It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Chiefs fans, football fans, podcast fans alike, welcome aboard. I'm Jordan Foote. This is the Rough and the Kicker podcast, the Kansas City Chiefs podcast in association with Arrowhead Report. As always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Thanks for making us a part of your Friday. And with that said, let's jump into today's show. Got a special guest here with us today. This is Jake Arthur of Horseshoe Huddle. You can follow him on Twitter at JakeArthurNFL. Jake, how's it going, man?
I am awesome on this beautiful day. How about you?
Doing good, man. It's the first day of fall as we're recording this. And I think that throughout the country, that cold spell kind of moving in, got some golf to do later Thursday afternoon. So, man, it's beautiful, dude.
There we go. Yeah, I turned my AC off. I've got my windows open. It's about 65 mm-hmm. or so degrees here in Indy. It was 90 yesterday. So they are following the start of fall accordingly. I'm into it.
Oh, yeah. We had the same thing in Kansas City. We almost hit 100 a couple times earlier in the week, which was brutal. Yeah. Now it's about that 60, 65 range. So
nice.
Good weather, good football, I think, on Sunday. And that's where we need to start off. The Colts and Chiefs mm-hmm. do play an afternoon game on Sunday. It's the Colts home opener, correct, for the year?
It is. Week 3 home opener. It's not been going great so far, but they're open. Being back at home will help a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love it. And I guess the injury roundup, probably the place to start. And on the Chiefs mm-hmm. side, Harrison Butker with an ankle sprain. He didn't practice on Wednesday. Mike Dana, defensive end. He didn't practice with a calf. And then Mecole Hardman with a heel. I think I would lean as of right now, without knowing Thursday designations, obviously, Butker doesn't play. I don't think Dana's going to play. I think Hardman will be fine. I think he'll mm-hmm. play through the pain. Man, Jake, the Colts, they've had a laundry list of injuries as of late. They've had kind of a mixed bag of news, but some guys getting back to practice this week. Mm-hmm. What's kind of your pulse and your update on the Colts?
Yeah, so the injury list for them as of yesterday, it's a little longer than the week before. However, they got some encouraging news with some upgrades among the guys who missed time, and it really affected them last week. Michael Pittman Jr. and Alec Pierce, for example. Pittman missed the last two practices last week and was not able to go and play against the Jaguars. And Alec Pierce was still in the concussion protocol and didn't clear it in time to play. Pierce got a full session in on Wednesday, and Pittman was a limited participant. So if they get both those guys back against the Chiefs, they'll both be necessary in order to win, especially if the Colts want to try a recipe like Mike Williams had against the Chiefs last week. That's the two guys on the Colts capable of doing that. So very encouraging news there. The only guy who didn't participate was Bernard Raimann, rookie offensive lineman. He's not the starter, but the Colts have rotated him in at left tackle here and there in these first couple games. That's not an approach I always love, because the offensive line is a group that doesn't really need to be interrupted during the game. So it's not going to be the end of the world if he doesn't play. They have Dennis Kelly, who would be a more than capable sixth offensive lineman.
Yeah, and I've seen on Chiefs Twitter, at least, and I try not to dive into this stuff too much without getting the 411. DeForest Buckner, Yannick Ngakoue, limited, I saw on one mm-hmm. site. Are they going to be good to go? They seem to be fine, I think.
I'm sure they will. Buckner especially, I would be really surprised if he didn't play. Whether or not he's on the injury report during a given week, he just doesn't miss games. In my memory, the only game he's missed with the Colts was when he was on the COVID list and had to miss the game.
Okay.
So injury wise, he's usually fine to play. Now, he hasn't totally looked like himself yet. So whether he plays or not, that still bears monitoring. The last one really of note for the Colts is Shaquille Leonard. Mm-hmm. He of course had a procedure on his back in June. And he missed all of training camp, but since the regular season started, he's been practicing every day. He's been a full participant for the last couple weeks. They're just kind of trying to get him into football shape and get his strength back. So he probably, like, if either of the last two games were a playoff game or the Super Bowl, he probably would have played, if I had to guess. I think this might be the game that they've had circled for him to return, as long as he felt okay. Because there's never been a firm no, he can't play in either of these last 2 weeks. It's always been a kind of, we'll see. Or, you know, when he's ready, he'll play this and that. And I think a lot of us think it might be this week that he debuts, but still can't say for sure. I mean, he's practicing in full, so.
Yeah, always good news, man. Mm-hmm. And the Colts, they know the importance of this game, man. They're a team that narrowly missed the playoffs last year. They obviously got rid of Carson Wentz, brought in Matt Ryan. They had that Rocky Sin for Ngakoue trade, added Stephon Gilmore. So they had a fairly busy offseason. They did lose some pieces as well. What are your thoughts on kind of the differences? Obviously the ones I mentioned, but also this year's Colts team hasn't gotten off to the best start. Is that kind of in line with the offseason? My read is that they're falling well short of expectations so far.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. The roster last year was really, really good, mm-hmm. but just within the last couple of weeks, they just totally fell off a cliff inexplicably. Really, no one knows why. They just went completely dead. They had everything in the world to play for. All they had to do was win either of the last two games against the Raiders or Jaguars, which is two incredibly winnable games, and they would have punched their ticket to the playoffs. Instead, they look lifeless, and that's how they've looked for these first couple weeks. They played nine quarters because they had overtime in week one, and they've looked really uninspired in about seven of those nine quarters. And with the guys they added this offseason, you would have totally thought they'd come out firing and that they'd be one of the teams to compete with behind the Chiefs and the Bills in the AFC. You know, Matt Ryan, Stephon Gilmore, Yannick Ngakoue, even Alec Pierce. He's a rookie, so he gets a little bit of a pass. But there was really no reason for this team not to come out looking pretty good. Now, on the offensive line, you kind of have cautious optimism with Matt Pryor, the new left tackle, and Danny Pinner, the new right guard. But left tackle Eric Fisher was really rough last year, so mm-hmm. it was kind of thinking Matt Pryor would just be an upgrade by default. Plus, he looked pretty good in the snaps he played last year for him. And Danny Pinner has always looked pretty good when filling in at center for the Colts, even when he had to start. So far, those guys have not had the best start to the season. So I guess that part of it might have been predictable. But everywhere else, it's fallen well short of expectations, like you said.
Yeah, and obviously the 2020 tie against Houston, that's not ideal. But the fact that they were able to come back and wake up, like you said, a couple of quarters where they did at least look mostly competitive. But man, last week... I'm a betting man, admittedly. And I was like, oh, the Colts take care of the Jaguars, knowing darn well about the streak down in Jacksonville and all that good mm-hmm. stuff. 24 zip. I get the streak. I get that Jacksonville is going to be, or is maybe an on the rise team. Trevor Lawrence looks really good. All that good stuff. New coach. But man, how does that happen? And I know that Matt Ryan didn't look particularly good. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, I guess, how panic button inspiring was that type of loss?
It was pretty close to a 10. I'll be honest, because some people in Colts Nation this week have been, you know, it's only a couple games, like we can't panic yet, but that's not the point. We're used to slow starts around here. The Colts mm-hmm. routinely dig themselves an early hold of the season. It's that this looks so reminiscent of those teams that came out totally dead in the last couple weeks of last season. It looks like a continuation of that. And that's really the panic. It's just guys not living up to expectations. And it's hard to put the finger on like why. Like they've said they've had really good practices. And they just, I don't know. It looked really uninspiring. And the reason it was panic inducing was because that loss to Jacksonville in week 18 last year, it was one of the cornerstone losses in franchise history. Truly, people talked about it all offseason. We're never going to let this happen again, you know, so on and so forth. And all the offseason moves they made, we kind of touched on this earlier, would indicate that they are all chips in. Like, they're not just trying to be competitive. They're trying to go for the Super Bowl. And to come out so flat and look like no one wanted to be there, there's maybe a couple players who played well. It was just shocking. And it's not an early season panic. It's a what is wrong with this team dating back to last season.
Yeah, and I have admittedly, I've drank the Kool-Aid on the Colts in the past. Not as like a Super Bowl team, but you think a team that's well-built in the trenches that now has a quarterback who's been able to take care of the ball for the most part, well-coached, well-run, those teams can have success in the playoffs. Like, I know that those Patriots squads were the gold standard of the NFL, and there's never going to be a replication of that. But even without this huge assortment of playmakers or anything like that, if the Colts get into the playoffs, the team that we thought they were going to be heading into the year, they could win their first playoff game. Absolutely. Like, I have no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Now, after a couple weeks, going to be tough. Now they're 0-1-1 facing a Chiefs team that got off to a decent start, came out slow against Chargers, still 2-0. Let's peel back the Colts offense and Pittman getting healthier. I'm getting him back, getting Jonathan Taylor involved. Are there any things that are areas you think the Colts can exploit in the Chiefs defense? And then are there any areas that you'd be kind of concerned about against Chiefs?
Yeah. So Jonathan Taylor is obviously someone you can use against just about any defense. You know, the only time it didn't work last year that they actually tried was against Tampa. And Tampa was one of those teams you couldn't run against the last couple of years, yep, like whatsoever. So I think outside of that, what I would try to do is utilize Michael Pittman as long as he's back and playing, because it worked really well for the Chargers with Mike Williams last week. And Pittman is someone who plays pretty similarly to that, an elite level contested catch guy who can get downfield as well. And Pierce is the same thing, but he doesn't even have a catch this year, was out last week again. We know what he did in training camp and the preseason, but you just don't know what that looks like during the regular season. I would get the tight ends involved, Kylan Granson, especially. Mm-hmm. He's proven that he can get separation as a route runner and create yards after the catch, but they've really only gotten the tight ends involved when they're trying to claw back and get back into the game. It doesn't look like they've really been part of the game plan yet. I would do that, especially with Willie Gay out with the suspension, yep, you know, that maybe makes the middle of the field a little vulnerable. And Nyheim Hines, he should be matchup proof. He should be someone that's a part of the weekly game plan. Get him involved as a pass catcher. He can go outside. He can run those Texas routes, isolate him against a linebacker. I think the only way you can really beat the Chiefs if you're the Colts is to just come armed for a shootout, because defensively you're not going to stop Patrick Mahomes, especially with Gus Bradley's scheme being so familiar to Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs. It's just not going to happen. So you have to be ready to score more points and be productive on offense.
What's up, guys? Thanks again for listening to today's show and taking some time to welcome Roughing the Kicker into your speakers and headphones. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsored programs, and right after that, we'll be right back.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, and absolutely. And that's my next point. Before we get to that, let's talk a little bit more about Matt Ryan specifically. And he's an interesting case. Throughout his career, I've kind of been in the camp of, oh, I'm not too sure about Matt Ryan. Then last year, I was like, okay, can't blame him for everything. Not everything in Atlanta was his fault. I thought he'd have a bounce back year. I thought he'd be an upgrade over Carson Wentz. The lows wouldn't be nearly as low as some of those with Wentz. Through a couple games, obviously it's probably a combination of factors. What's your kind of vibe check on Matt Ryan so far?
Yeah, so obviously I think it was an upgrade. I mean, a lot of people seeing how the Colts have started and seeing how Matt Ryan has started these first couple of games are saying, oh, so Carson Wentz wasn't the problem, huh? No, he was a big problem. The Colts, throughout a very large chunk of the second half of the season, seemed to be hiding him. Jonathan Taylor was very productive, but a lot of it was because they felt they had to run the ball because they couldn't rely on Carson Wentz. So that was still a big problem. Like, Wentz still needed to go. And while I think Matt Ryan is an upgrade, I don't think he's one of those Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck level guys who is going to drag his teammates to victories. Like, he has to have things steady around him. I think he'll be very good if the offensive line steps up and protects him for once. He's got a lot of young pass catchers around him as well, and it's been very evident they're not always on the same page. Where he needs them to be and where they are has not been on the same thing. So I think they'll settle in and be fine. It feels a lot like Phillip Rivers in 2020. Now, granted, Rivers didn't have the benefit of an offseason because it was the COVID offseason. But it took about mid-season for that offense to really start clicking for the Colts when Rivers was here, and it could be the same thing with Ryan. But I think they'll get there. They'll settle in and be fine. I think he'll be an above average quarterback for them, but he has to have things around him going well. He's not going to drag them to wins. It's not going to happen. We've seen that he's an older guy who's just not going to be able to overcome it if he's under constant duress. So I still have faith in him, but I think he's going to have things around him going well. The offensive line definitely needs to step up.
Yeah, and part of that's defense too, right? I mean, if they're giving up 30 a game or whatever, it's going to be tough. And it's a segue to Gus Bradley. Patrick Mahomes has had a ton of success, to say the least, against him. I saw a graphic earlier this week. Indy is just not really interested in those two high shells so far, which Gus Bradley kind of equivalents with that. I think the Chiefs' pass protection, it's been less than stellar. The Colts have some guys up front that can give them trouble. I want your read on that, Jake. And also, if Leonard is playing, how big of a get is that for the Colts on defense?
Yeah, so the defense is just still a big mystery so far because we know what these guys can look like in the former scheme with Eberflus, very simplified, cover two type stuff. And on paper, I think the Colts defense should be doing even better than they are, especially the pass rushers. Like Yannick Ngakoue, the numbers don't lie. He's been one of the most consistently productive pass rushers in the NFL since he got into the league. It just hasn't materialized yet this year for whatever reason, which is odd because he's very familiar with Gus Bradley's system. Kwity Paye on the other side has a couple sacks, but they were in overtime of week one. DeForest Buckner, like I mentioned, hasn't looked like himself. Grover Stewart looks like a superstar. Their nose. But yeah, the defensive line really ought to be playing better than they are so far. So that's something worth monitoring. Yannick Ngakoue and Orlando Brown obviously know each other from their days in the AFC West last year and with the Ravens. So I think that'll be interesting. Leonard, so I think his natural ability to take the ball away is something that can't be replaced, and it's priceless. But this is going to be a new system for him in his first game. How free will he be able to play and play instinctually, or will he be just mentally trying to fit into the scheme? That's one thing I'm very curious about. The secondary is definitely going to have to be on their toes with this one. I think Stephon Gilmore is fine, but if the Chiefs do kind of what the Jaguars do and put like Travis Kelce on him or something, that could be tough because Gilmore struggled with Evan Ingram last week.
Yep.
I think the Colts safeties are capable of playing better than they have. They haven't been bad. They just haven't really stepped up and been exceptional, which they looked like all summer. So we'll see how it goes. Really want to see if they get Isaiah Rodgers involved. He's one of a few guys on this defense that just has a natural ability to make plays and take the ball away. Like, they may not always be 100% in coverage, but they could just do things other guys can't. He's one of those guys, doesn't have any snaps through two games, which is odd. I mean, I know Gus Bradley's new here, but like, you've got to get those types of guys on the field. Like, you just have to. And Kenny Moore's really got to step up as well.
Yeah.
I just don't know that. Maybe he's thinking too much in this new scheme. I'm not sure, but he's not playing free and instinctual like we see him. Like, he's one of those guys that plays chess when other guys are playing checkers, and it just has not looked like that this year so far. Really, he's another one of those guys that's really struggled going back to last year.
Yeah, and it's a tough spot to be in, man, because on one hand, the Colts have a long season ahead of them. If they drop this game, their season isn't quite over. They can still figure things out in time to make a wild card or win the division, because the division's probably not going to be that tough. Like, it's not the end of the world. On the other hand, a lot of guys are back. I know that it's a new system. You don't want to go 0-2-1. That's not a good place you want to be.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge believer in the whole 0-2, your season's over type thing that's going around. I know that it's past couple of years it has been. But even teams like the Raiders or the Bengals could climb out of that. I think the Colts could be one of those too. With all of that in mind, with the defensive struggles or offensive struggles with injuries, everything to take into account, Jake, I'm going to put you on the spot. Not only do I want a winner pick, but I'm going to get a score pick from you as well.
Yeah, so we just did a crossover show with our counterparts from Locked On Chiefs
dropped
this morning, and I picked the Chiefs to win 34-20. I think, you know, the Chiefs defense is kind of middle of the road in just about everything, so I think the Colts will finally be able to – they're not going to be shut out again. They'll get to 20, I think. But in the end, there's nothing to indicate that Mahomes won't go through and just be himself. And, you know, 34 seems like a safe number against this defense.
Yeah, man, I'm going 30-17. So I think we're generally on that same line of thought. I think the Colts have given the Chiefs trouble in the past. I don't think that the Chiefs or their fans or the media or anybody needs to overlook this game for them. I've smelled a trap game all week. Yeah. I absolutely think the Chiefs could come out flat. And like, usually for the Chiefs, they just beat themselves up oftentimes against the Chargers. Chargers were doing good stuff, but the Chiefs' game plan was so vanilla to start off. They were shooting themselves in the foot. They had some near turnovers, stuff like that. It just wasn't good. So if the Chiefs come out and don't execute and they spot the Colts a 10-zip or 14-3 or some lead like that, I think the Colts are the type of team that could manage it the rest of the way and coast. With that said, I know it's the home opener. I know the Colts are getting guys back. But I can't in good faith, I think, pick them. I absolutely could see a trap game. But man, I'm thinking probably the Chiefs cover and the Chiefs send the Colts to 0-2-1. But again, I really do think this team long term, they're going to be fine.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I do think there is a road for the Colts to win this game. It's not like there's no hope. I think it is possible. They're going to have some breaks go their way. They're going to have untimely drops or penalties from the Chiefs. They're going to have to capitalize on those gifts that Mahomes will occasionally give you, like Asante Samuel didn't with the Chargers last week. They have to have those breaks go their way. They have to take advantage of mistakes. You know, they have to do their job there. I do think if they get a lead, like you mentioned, 14-3 or something like that, that's when you can have Jonathan Taylor pound it and you can start to control the game a little better that way. But overall, if they're going to win, I see it being more of a shootout, and it's kind of hard to beat Patrick Mahomes in a shootout. But if he does make some of those mistakes or any of his teammates, it's not all on him when they lose. But yeah, there's a road there for the Colts to win. I just don't know how likely it is.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Jake, thank you for coming on, man. Any content or anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, man, I try to stay crazy busy with churning stuff out during the week. Check out the Locked On Colts podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, YouTube, all that. Also, horseshoehuddle.com, where the Colts Fan Nation website. We've got stuff pouring through there constantly. So between those two things, we've got something for every Colts fan pretty much at all times.
Yep, guys, I have admittedly been stalking Horseshoe Huddle and Locked On Colts this week. So I'm one of those guys that even when I'm not fans of teams or even when I don't cover teams, I just like being informed and I'll add it into my rotation. So Jake has won me over with that. He can win you over on Twitter at @JakeArthurNFL. Guys, I'll be back on Monday with a recap episode, a reaction to what could be a Chiefs win or a Chiefs loss against the Colts with Mark Van Sickle. So until then, take care, stay safe, have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you then.
The Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast is a Kansas City Chiefs podcast hosted and produced by Jordan Foote in association with ArrowheadReport.com and Almost Entirely LLC. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts or by going to smarturl.it/RTK show. For more Kansas City Chiefs coverage, go to Sports Illustrated's home for the Kansas City Chiefs, ArrowheadReport.com.